Welcome back to The Professional Church Worker. I'm Tyler.
And I'm Luke.
And we are glad you're back if you've continued to watch these. If you're first time here watching, thanks for joining us.
Welcome.
Today's episode, we are going to talk about what to do or best practices once you've received a call. Mm-hmm. So you've gone through the interview process, you've decided that this is a church you want to interview with, and you move through that process, and you are the one that this church is picking to call. Now what? So Luke has graciously spoken on this at one time, multiple times,
just the one time. Because Best Practices in Phoenix shot me down.
It's all right.
I'm not bitter about it.
So, Lucas spent time developing this. He's also a Michigan District Representative for Church Workers. And this is a great resource that blesses us if we're wanting to go through a call process and maybe need a refresher. He's kind of laid it out, and we're going to talk about that today. So we have 6 points that we're going to talk through, and some may be more in-depth than others. But I will, Luke... I will let Luke start us off with the first thing to consider once you've received an official call.
Absolutely. So, I mean, the first one feels obvious, but there's lots of different angles to look at it, and that's the position itself. You know, what is their general description of the position? What are specific expectations? One of the things that I like to ask about and make sure I understand is, you know, what would be weekly, monthly, and even the annual responsibilities and expectations of the position? Because, you know, maybe you're being called to do children's ministry in a congregation. Now, that's going to look complete. I mean, director of children's ministry, that could be a title at dozens of congregations, but look completely different in every single one. Mm-hmm. You know, does the church have a school? Do they expect you to be a part of that? Is it children's ministry in the worship setting? Mm-hmm. Or is it, you know, midweek? Is it a mix of both? Understanding those weekly, monthly, and annual expectations and responsibilities are an important aspect beyond just knowing the ministry description.
Yes. So, I don't think I have a whole lot to add to that position. Just really look at it. See if you fit in it. See if it's your passions. Mm-hmm. I've had calls that there's responsibilities in the call are something I had no background in. And that might be like a 20% of the position, sure, kind of thing. And am I willing to learn? Am I willing to practice that? Or would I be miserable? Or maybe just not gifted in that area where I said, yeah, I would love to do this portion, but this is where I'm hung up on. And I think it's okay to tell them that as you're discerning. So looking over the position, the second point I think we're ready to go to, since we're just doing an overview, we got 20 minutes. Looking at the congregation and the community that you would be moving to and becoming a part of. And that can consist of the types of ministries and groups, the worship style, if that's something, if you're a worship director going into that, or if that's kind of like some people fall on that. Right. I have a very different view on that. I prefer contemporary worship. Mm-hmm. That's me. I'm at St. Paul. We currently don't do contemporary worship, but I felt called here because I looked at the need that I could come in and fill. So it wasn't the preference of worship style. And again, I'm fine with traditional as well, but my preference of worship style didn't have merit on how I felt God was calling me to serve here. But if you're a worship director and you want to come in and the church is really big in the contemporary, but you only want to do it one way or vice versa, like consider that. And look at what that is. Their online presence, kind of their mission and core values. Like, do they have set goals that they want you to do, or do they have a way of doing ministry that fits, either fits you or you feel like you can fit into. Mm-hmm. That's a different too, is like, you don't want to be too rigid when you're considering, be like, could God create this way of work in me? Mm-hmm. I think is huge. Looking at how they're set up, are they policy-based? Are they board-based? Right. There's advantages and disadvantages to both of those. I've been in both systems. Size of the church, that's huge. Mm-hmm. I've been at churches of worshiping, you know, 1,200, and I've been in churches worshiping around like 350, which that's still considered a big church in the LCMS. But there's churches out there that worship 100 that might be trying to call you, or 150, which that's the average size. Usually those churches don't have much staff. I would say a lot of churches aren't calling people in our position to full-time if they're smaller. What do you guys worship?
We're at about 100, but we are very rare. Yes, I mean, we're a very rare situation.
So,
you know, and I would encourage check out the community that the church is a part of too. You know, the size of the congregation is huge, like you said. So's the community.
Yeah.
Like, if you know, I'm in a very small community, especially compared to Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
But yet we still have lots of churches in that community. They're all really small.
Yep.
But that is an important aspect to understand. Do those congregations work together? Yep. Or are they, you know, very isolated?
And is it a community that, and I say this carefully, but that you're going to be comfortable in?
Sure.
If you grew up rural and you love rural and that's huge, and then all of a sudden you get a call to Minneapolis, Minnesota, like in the heart of the city, or Chicago or Atlanta or wherever, Ann Arbor's a little bit different. It feels city. It's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But do you think that sometimes your personality or your expectation really won't allow you to live in that type of community?
Yeah.
And
minister to that
community. But I'm not saying just because you grew up rural, you can't do city. Right. Just because you grew up city, you can't do rural. But weighing that and looking into that, and also, we're going to get to this a little bit further down, but when you're looking at the community you live in, you need to also assess the cost of living in that community, which that'll get down to our point number five we're going to get to. But you got to look at where you're shopping, how you're, the housing, where you're going to live, what you're going to do in your free time, how you're going to, you know, are you close to an airport? That's important to some people. Yeah. If I'm moving really far away from family, I want to know that I can get to them. Do I got to drive 2 hours to the nearest airport? Do I got to drive, you know, 5 hours? Or do I have cell phone reception? Right. I've had to change carriers based on where I've taken calls to. So they're silly. That's not why you wouldn't take a call.
Right.
But it's interesting when you start looking at that. If you want to talk about the next point.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, before I jump into this next point, I want to mention some of these things are going to be different for each of us. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, even Tyler and I have similarities, and even our families, there are similarities but there are also differences. And so certain things are going to be more important to the Seehafer family than the Esselman family.
Yep.
So the next point we want to bring up is the staff. Understanding the staff of the congregation, their strengths and weaknesses, how you'll work with them, where are their overlapping aspects in the ministry, and you know, when I come into a place, I'm going to want to know where are we going to be working together, and also where am I going to want to avoid stepping on people's toes, and how is that going to work? Like, if I'm very passionate about a certain area of ministry, and you know, they may not be calling me to that area, or maybe they are, but I'm going to be working with someone. And if I'm really passionate about it, are they going to be flexible in the way we
can
do
take
it?
That second chair? Like, sometimes, like, you're really passionate about something, the pastor's really passionate about, and how much can you get involved in that ministry? Yeah. Also, to throw on here is understanding with staff the expectations of the work week.
Yep.
You know, so I'm currently a 5-day a week. Hit my mic, apologize. I'm a 5-day a week employee. That's my call What are you? Are you 5 day or 6 day?
Officially six, but okay. we kind of see it as 5.5.
Exactly. Yeah. So you'll get 5 week. The two most common are 6 day and 5 day.
Yeah.
Calls. I've had both. And the 6 day is interesting for pastors. It's a little bit more like understood for church workers. It's usually like you have this 6 day that you're you can't guard it religiously mm-hmm. like a day off, but a lot of times you're not going to be doing much on that day.
Sure.
But you should schedule events that day.
Yeah.
Where now here, I'm off Friday and Saturday mm-hmm. and I got to pick my Friday off. I could have done Monday or Wednesday. I could have picked sure. my day off, but I'm going to do two consecutive events.
Sure. Yeah.
But I will plan stuff on a Friday, Saturday, but then I'll flex time and take a Monday.
Yeah, absolutely.
But understanding your vacation time, understanding, can you flex?
Yes.
Can you? So we have a policy here. I don't know if it's written or not, but you can flex after said event. We used to, sometimes it's like, well, I'm going to take 2 days off before. You can do that on special occasion, but they're like, we want you to use your flex time as recovery time, not as I'm going to take these 2 days ahead. Some churches are more fluid and laid back yeah. about it. And some churches like here, we're policy based. We're trying to figure something out to generalize it. I do get a few more, the church side, we get a little bit more exceptions with our supervisor working through things.
Yeah.
Do you have to work every holiday?
Right.
That's one too. I don't mm-hmm. like, I am not really a part of worship.
Yeah.
Like I help out with some media mm-hmm. stuff, but I know some church workers who are up front making right. announcements.
Right.
They're there Absolutely. Every Christmas. I travel with over the holidays usually.
Right.
And so understanding that, like if you have a tradition of always worshiping with your extended family, this church might have a different expectation
right.
of you.
Mm-hmm. And that might be okay.
Yes.
It's just something to understand on yeah. the front end.
And I'm right. not saying that's not a no, don't take the call.
Not a deal breaker.
But it's yeah. understanding your life routine is going to maybe have to change.
Yeah.
And you can talk to them about that
yeah.
before accepting a call or shortly after accepting a call, there's conversation saying, all right, I want to be here. What does this look like? What does this mean? Is it okay? But it's always better to have kind of those conversations before.
Agreed.
But don't feel like you accepted the call. Now you have to conform immediately.
Right.
You can say, all right, I'm here. What does this look like now that I'm here?
Yeah. And I would encourage, you know, understanding this sort of overarching, here's the expectation, here's the policy for vacation, for days off mm-hmm. and that. Mm-hmm. But then drill down and find out, do the other staff people actually take their days off? Do they actually yes. take their vacations?
Yeah.
I had a call probably 12 years ago where the expectations were laid out in front of me. And then I started asking, especially the church secretary, which is one we should absolutely mention. You should always interview the church secretary. Said, you know, how does the pastor, it was a smaller congregation where it would have been just me and the pastor, and they had an early child care center. Does the pastor take their day off? Or I think I actually might have asked, what day is the pastor's day off? And the secretary had no idea. And she was like, well, you know, if he needs some time off for a dentist appointment or something, you know, yeah. he'll do that. But, and the pastor was single, and I was single at the time. And so that's, again, it's not a deal breaker, but it's important to understand the congregation may expect that
yeah.
of the worker coming in.
And having those conversations saying, so I will give an example here. My pastor here, my supervising pastor, he works too much. He'll say that. All right. But pastors also have a higher calling.
Yeah.
They get paid more. They have more responsibility.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But like the compensation is better. And I'm not making this a money thing, but like the expectation is higher. The call is higher to become a pastor. There's greater education that goes there. And typically the compensation is better. Like, let's just be honest here. Mm-hmm. And so they should be doing more than you. Would you agree with that?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, typically.
And I'm not trying to like step on toes. I'm not trying to dig in this dude. But my pastor here, he's like, just because I'm doing these practices, Tyler, I'm not gonna like, you need to, you take your vacation time. And he's good at taking his vacation time.
Good.
But he's maybe less likely to flex a day if he has to work consecutive days. Mm-hmm. He'll try, but he's very much like, if you're gonna have a pastor that, first of all, models healthy, yeah, is better, the best.
Just the best.
Second best is do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah.
And if they're saying to you, hey, make sure you're using your vacation time.
Yeah.
I've had unhealthy leadership where they say, well, vacation, they got upset with me because they're like, well, it's the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law. And I'm like, no, it's the letter of the law. That's what I have to, I get my call papers.
Yeah,
or why I accepted the call, and I want to use my vacation time. Now, if you're very involved in the Christmas at your congregation, you're not going to take a week off during Christmas.
Yeah.
Like there are some things where, or if you're running the VBS, you're not going to take the week of VBS off. Like there are certain things that you really need to realize. Like you have to be there for certain things. You can't now. There's nothing that for me, in my congregation, that is dire that I'm here for or not. I can kind of take vacation. There are certain things that have to happen throughout the year, and I can't say, I'm taking vacation. Well, then I need to schedule that thing for a different time.
Yeah.
But I know there are other people like, these areas here, or if I schedule something, and then I find out, oh, my family's doing this awesome trip. No, I'm committed to that thing that I scheduled, right? And so there's that.
Yeah.
Probably jump to the next one.
Yeah.
But understanding staff is very important in how they work.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a huge point of accepting a call.
And one last thing I'll say is, you know, you were talking about your supervising pastor.
Yes.
And the communication there.
Oh, for sure.
You know, you can't always know how that communication dynamic is going to go during the call process. But the best you can, try and find out, because that is so huge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. On-site visits. So, doesn't always happen. Oh, no. This is after you receive the call.
This is after you receive the call.
I would encourage you to do an on-site visit.
Yes.
They will normally...
Most of the time, they do.
I would say 80%, maybe more. They'll say, yes, we want you out. When do you want to come out? We'll cover all your costs.
Right.
If they don't, I'm not going to say don't take that call. If they don't, because maybe financially they're in a tough spot.
I'll say that I would not take that
call. Okay. Luke would not take that call.
Without a visit.
Yeah. It's hard to get a feeling, right? Like,
and to see yourself and your family in that setting.
See how big the office is. But on-site visit, make sure it happens.
Yeah.
Make sure you're talking to members. Make sure you're talking to the church secretary. Make sure you're talking to as many people as you can.
And you set that schedule.
Yes.
Like, this is the visit where you get to ask the questions.
You interview them.
Exactly. They've already interviewed you. They've already asked their questions. This is your chance to talk to them and to get your questions answered.
And do it in a loving, compassionate, caring way. Don't go into it already thinking like, well, this isn't like, if you already feel that way, don't take the call.
Right.
If you feel like, man, I feel called, I feel like this is a possibility, go in with love and good questions.
Yeah.
Write your questions down. Meet with Luke if you want help with questions.
I'd love to.
Or if you're not in the Michigan district, like meet with, if you have a Michigan district rep, meet with a path, meet with somebody, even if you've done this 100 times, to formulate good questions.
Yeah.
And because they offered you the job, now you're deciding, do you want to work there?
Yeah.
And I simplified that a lot because a call, but that's like the most simple way is like, you get an opportunity to, I see myself serving God here. Mm-hmm. So on-site visit's huge. Next.
I just want to finish up with those last 2 points there. Ask about the mission statement of the congregation.
Yes.
And ask about why this position is important. And I would encourage doing that with every single person that you meet with. Because sometimes there's going to be conflicting ideas between, like, if you meet with, so I talked about children's ministry earlier, we'll do youth ministry now. If you got a call to do youth ministry and you meet with maybe the youth board or maybe parents of some of the
youth, they're going to be excited about it.
They're going to be excited about it, and they're going to have one idea of what they are hoping for in this position.
Mm-hmm.
If you then talk to your supervising pastor, and they have a completely different view of what this position is going to do and why this call is important. That, to me, that's a red flag.
Yeah.
Again, it's not a deal breaker.
No.
But you need to know that going in.
Yep. And I think also understanding with talking to that pastor, are they putting faith in you or are they going to micromanage you?
Absolutely.
And I don't think anyone likes to be micromanaged,
right.
But you can kind of get a sense of, are they going to give you healthy advice to set you up for success? Or are they going to pick apart what you're doing or tell you what you have to do?
Right.
I'm not saying that them telling you what you have to do is wrong, because maybe they'll say, hey, this is what I want you to do. This is the goal we're trying to hit. I need you to do this. Cause maybe they had a strategic team come in and say, this is really what we need. You need to understand that from the get-go. So then you're on board with, yep,
absolutely.
I'm going to let you lead me and I'm going to do this and I'm going to fit, you know, in your position for me. Like they kind of build a box for you, or it'll be a congregation that says you create the box. Yes, well, there needs to be accountability and you need to check in and stuff, but they'll either want you to fit into a box or let you create that box.
Absolutely.
And if you're replacing a superstar that left that church, a lot of the times they want you to fill that box that superstar is in, and you never will because you're different. You might do all the same stuff and it might be just as good, but you're different than them. And so that's something I would say watch out for.
Yep.
Find that out from the staff. Next, compensation and benefits.
Yes. This is one where I think I'm going to start out by saying, do not negotiate for your pay. It is okay to ask, how did you come up with, this compensation package? You know, do you use district pay scale? If they don't, I'd encourage them to look at it.
Yes.
Do you use a different system for, determining pay, which I have seen at other congregations, you know.
And in Michigan District, they have to share that scale. Per your call papers.
Oh, how they determine the...
Yes.
Yes,
so that they need to be transparent if they don't use district guidelines.
Right. So that is a difference between asking how they came up with that compensation and... what is the plan for advancement versus, you know, this is okay, but here's a number I recommend, you know, as you slide across the table face down. You know,
it's such a touchy thing.
It is.
Don't negotiate.
Right.
Don't try to get the highest pay you can get.
Right.
But like Luke said, and I've been in this situation, if it feels like God is calling you there and that is your only hang up, because not because you want more, but because you aren't sure you can provide for your family, you can be transparent about that and say, this is where God is calling me to be. I feel really called here. You're not meeting district guidelines. And that's making it very hard for me to be able to fully discern this call.
Right.
Yeah. That's not giving them a number.
Right.
Right. I'm not saying you should do that, but I'm saying I don't think that's uncalled for.
Right.
Would you agree or disagree?
I would agree. I would be very careful about it.
Yeah, I know. It's like
and
if you return the call, you can tell them why.
Oh,
that's
absolutely.
A different thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say that might be our next video. Certainly, you know, there's so many pieces to it, because some congregations will help with the self-employment tax side of it.
Yep.
That's a piece. There's obviously the salary. There's obviously
health benefits.
You know, you should ask and understand what the pension and disability is. You know, do they go by Concordia plan?
Yep.
Do they have something else in place?
Or vacation. What is that? Sometimes if you don't use it, you lose it. That's the most common. But I do know some congregations, as you can accrue so much for the following year. And also I've heard of some congregations who will give you a payout if you don't use it.
Sure.
Super rare.
Super rare, but it's
kind of cool if you have a really busy year and they just pay you those days back. That's a blessing.
Yeah. You know, some congregations will pay for, I don't know if St. Paul does this, but your cell phone.
They don't hear no, but I've had congregations do that.
Sure. Yeah.
Because you're using it for work.
Right.
Like you're allowing your members to call you on your cell phone, right. even though mm-hmm. it's a personal cell phone. So some churches look at it more like common business practice today. Right. And some churches are like, well, you're a church worker.
Right.
No. And yeah. so there's kind of a huge variance there and making sure that you understand our timer again, but we got maybe 5 more minutes left, so we'll be okay.
Yeah.
But understanding like that mileage is something.
Yep.
Here we have 2 campuses, so we don't get mileage between the 2 campuses. Sure. But if we go somewhere not associated with the 2 campuses, sure. we get mileage for that.
Yep.
I live 20 miles away. I don't get mileage to drive into work.
Right.
That's like but the church also. I can get a loan through my congregation through CEF, mm-hmm. and if I want to move, can I move right now? No, the market's horrible. But there's so many things to consider when it comes to compensation.
Absolutely.
Let's jump into personal. So you've kind of gone through all these checklists. Now it's like, check the area out. It sounds silly. What are you going to do while you're not serving the church?
Right.
Or if it's in... What are you going to do in the community with your congregation? It's kind of looking at it both ways, but right now let's focus on personal. So like maybe you're really big into mountain biking and mm-hmm. you love it. Is there mountain biking trails around the area? Or maybe you're really into craft beer and that might sound silly and I'm not like, but are there some cool breweries or cool restaurants you can go to with your family? Are the schools good? Childcare, the job market, actually something back about compensation and benefits. Mm-hmm. If it's a school, are your kids, do you have to pay for them to go to the school or not?
Good question.
And absolutely. I've been in both situations where I have to pay for my kids to go to the school I work for. And I've also been at a school where my kid got a full ride to go to that Lutheran school.
Yeah.
The tough part with that is if your kids aren't in the day school and you're working there, there's a lot of question marks with why is your kid not going to school here? And you can come back and be like, hey, I can't financially afford that to put them in the school here and work here. And sometimes they'll be like, hey, they'll look at policy, like, you know what, we're going to help cover that for you. Or they offer scholarship programs. Mm-hmm. I've had to do that. And it used to be, the old way used to be every church worker kid gets free education.
Right.
That's used to be how they marketed.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not even close to the case anymore.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would add that if they don't offer that, you know, don't necessarily be like, well, why not? You know, because it's not the common practice anymore.
No, it's not the common practice.
But it's okay to ask about it, though.
For sure. And even say, hey, is it possible that you guys could help figure that out if it is a financial burden? Some people, their spouse is a nurse or something, mm-hmm. and they're okay financially. You know what I mean? Like, but I've had to add those questions here at my school right now, and we're blessed to be in a scholarship program, which allows us to put our kids in the school here. And so personal, but back to the personal stuff, look at schools, childcare, job market for your spouse, if mm-hmm. you're married, kind of expectations of your family involvement at the congregation. I'm in a unique situation here where I came from a local church where I was a member and accepted a call here. We were very plugged into this other church. And, I kind of said, hey, my oldest daughter wants to stay a member of that church. Mm-hmm. And I said, I want you guys to know we're allowing that as a family. And they said, oh, that's awesome. And my wife worships there maybe once every 4 to 6 weeks. And my whole family's there. My brother-in-law's the pastor there. So, but the nice thing is we all play really well together here in Ann Arbor. All of our churches are in partnerships. But also, like, are they going to be upset if I'm working at church and my wife's not there and my kids aren't there?
Yeah.
Now, I do think there's a huge thing, and like, it is important that they are a member of the church and they are active in your mm-hmm. church and they show that you're fully committed.
Yeah.
And then there's other things like how is your family going to be cared for, childcare, and is your spouse on board? Like, do they want to be in this ministry with you? Because they are in the ministry with you regardless.
Amen.
Whether you want to hear that or not. But yeah, I think that's all we got for now. It's kind of went through it quick.
We did.
But I think it's a good synopsis. Maybe with this episode, maybe we can link this form.
I think
that
so.
You created, or we'll share it on our Facebook page, maybe, or whatever. So,
and as Tyler has said, you know, we are both available. We'd love to chat, connect with you, email, you know, however, reach out to us if you have questions.
And again, that email that we're currently using, it might change, is theprofessionalchurchworker@gmail.com. Super simple, super easy. You can also message us via the Facebook group once and if that becomes active. But that's all I have for now. Welcome. Now, welcome. Thank you for tuning into The Professional Church Worker. I hope you have a blessed evening.